Hey, welcome to Ealing Christian Center. I'm Shane. I'm the pastor of this church. Obviously, I'm married. Okay. And today we are into week 5 of our sermon series called Good Fruit. It's about the fruit of the Spirit. So before we get into the sermon, let's just revisit the theme scripture of this sermon series. Let's go to Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. Yep. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So today we are into week 5. We'll be talking about kindness. And the title is called A Different Kind of Kindness. A few months ago, and I shared in my sermon that during the first month, when I was in Auckland, 22 years ago, my car was stolen. But I didn't tell you how did I find my car. And it was not a very expensive, you know, flashy car. It's just a used Japanese car back then. And but I looked after it so well. I wash it every day. Vacuum it, right? And I polish the wheels. Yeah, back then, the alloy wheels, you know, it's what young adults like. But obviously, someone really loved the way I looked after my car, okay? So he took it away from me. So that's how I found it. Around 24 hours later, a policeman called me. From his tone, I could tell my car didn't look pretty anymore. He even told me, hey, bring some spare wheels, 4 spare wheels, because all the wheels are missing. The problem is I only have 1 spare wheel. Like even that one was in the car, right? How could I find another 3 to fit my car? So I called my friend. You know, I was new. It's first month in New Zealand. So and my friend told me, let's go there. Let's go there to have a look first. Maybe we just call a tow company to tow your car. So the police told me that my car was abandoned on the farm. I didn't even remember where the farm was now, but my friend found it on the map, drove us there. As we arrived there, we saw a car on the top of a hill, far away. And my friend looked at me and asked, is that your car? I said, yeah, yes, it is. How do you know? Because it doesn't have wheels. Find me another car on this farm without wheels. Okay? So as we are wondering what to do next, a middle-aged Kiwi guy running uphill towards us. You know, this guy, he was wearing a neck brace, you know, the thing to support your neck after injury. So as he reached us, he said to us, hey, I'm the owner of this farm. Okay, I was the one who called police when I found your car. Can I help you? I said, oh, thank you for calling the police, but the wheels are gone. He said, don't worry, you know, because I got a few spare wheels, you know, in my sitting in my garage. Said, come, see if we can find anything to fit. And so I followed him to his garage. Have you ever tried to find something on the floor without moving your neck? That was nearly impossible. So that Kiwi farmer tried so hard to find some wheels on the floor in his garage and pull them out for me. I was thinking, wow, this guy is so kind. So after that, we installed the wheels on my car. Well, they didn't perfectly fit, but better than nothing. At least my car can move now. And after we installed all the wheels, he helped us pushed my cart all the way from the hilltop to the driveway. Once again, without moving his neck. I mean, when you have that neck brace on you, it's easy to go uphill, right? But when you go downhill, man, that's so hard. So I was thinking, well, I hope his neck didn't get hurt again. So as I left his farm, this man said to me, hey, take care. Okay, drive carefully, drive slow. And you don't need to return those wheels to me. Okay, I know you cannot find this place, and you don't want to come back. So I said, you don't need to return those wheels for me, to me. You know, that was supposed to be the worst day of my life in New Zealand. But it turned out to be one of the best experiences I ever had in my life. Because that Kiwi farmer showed me a different kind of kindness. He didn't need to be so kind to a stranger like me. Right? By the way, he was a victim as well. You don't want anyone dump a stolen car in your backyard. He's so kind to me. And he didn't expect anything in return from me. Because he knew, come on, this is just a young international student. What he can do for me? So it's so easy for us to be kind to our friends, to be kind to the people we love, to be kind to the people who can do something in return with us. But that's not the kindness we are talking about here today in the church. When we are in the church, we got to talk about something different, right? That's why you are here. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verse 32 to 34, Jesus says this. He says, hey, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Everybody can do that, right? Even sinners love those who love them. By the way, in Jesus' context, when he says sinners, he means everyone, everybody. Okay, because nobody is good enough to meet God's standard. So basically, everyone love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Everyone can do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. It's easy to be kind to the people we like or those who will do us a favor in return. But Jesus wants us to show a different kind of kindness, extending our kindness beyond our comfort zone. Show our kindness to those who seem not to deserve it, or those who cannot do anything in return for us. The Apostle Paul says this in his letter to a church in Ephesus 2,000 years ago. Paul says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So what the scripture says here is not just to be kind to those who favor us, but also to those who offend us, to those who need our forgiveness. We should forgive others as God forgave us, and be kind as God is kind to us. So after Jesus said to his disciples, hey, what's the credit for you if you only love those who love you? After that, he said this, Luke 6, 36. So be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. You often hear parents say, hey, you know, my daughter, she has my eyes, yeah. My son, he has my nose, right? Parents will say that all the time. It's good. But you know, when our Heavenly Father looks at us, he wants us to have his heart. He wants us to have his character, his kindness. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So if you are non-Christian, when Jesus says Father, that means God, Heavenly Father, not our biological father. So today, you know, in today's world, especially on the internet, we see too much meanness, rudeness, disrespect, even violence. Today, any kind of disagreement can be seen as a hatred, right? If you disagree what I believe, you must hate me. No, not at all. You know, God, Jesus teaches us that we need to be kind to those who disagree with us. We need to be kind to those who even offend us. In today's society, kindness is greatly needed in our life. Because it is disappearing. We all see that. But the good news is, God never says, hey, you, try hard to be kind. No. God says, you know, kindness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means that's my work. That's my work in your life. That's my plan. That's my will for you. I will make it happen through you. So all we need to do, the Apostle Paul reminds us like this. He says, if we want to understand God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So the life transformation begins with mind. So today I'm going to share with you two things that could help us renew our mind so that God can produce his spiritual fruit through our lives. The first one for you today is consider God's kindness through Jesus to you. Before we try to be kind, consider God's kindness to us first. I really want to say thank you to that farmer, but I don't remember his name. What a shame. I didn't remember the location, the address anymore. Because his kindness truly impacted me. Because of his kindness, I was thinking about, I'm gonna do something for others, right? I want to extend his kindness to the people around me, to share what I received from me with the people around me. So I decided to leave all the spare tires to my friend. Hey, you can keep them now. Hey, remember, you don't need to return them to me. Share what I received from him with my friend. His kindness truly impacted me. You know, here's the thing, friends. We need to understand and experience God's kindness first before we can share it with others, before we can extend it to others. In the book of Titus 3, verses 4 to 5, the Bible says this: when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, it means Jesus Christ, he saved us. Hey, not because of the righteous things we had done. God saved us not because we are so good, we are perfect. No, but because of his mercy. Because of how much he loves us. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So you see, God's kindness is demonstrated in his provision of salvation to people who don't deserve it. Besides that, God provides for our needs on earth. He personally involved in our everyday life and give us the gift of eternal life on top of that. Wow. And God do all this not because we live a perfect life, we deserve that. No, we all know we are not perfect, right? Let alone God's standard. You know, sometimes we all know we even fall short of our own standards. But because God's mercy, he's so kind to us. And as I mentioned before, today's society struggles with handling disagreement, with the cancel culture, political correctness, etc. But you see, if you go back to the New Testament, you see Jesus built his ministry on loving people who disagreeing with him. Jesus built his ministry on loving people who offended him, denied him. Jesus said this, hey, I'm here not for the righteous, okay? I'm not here for the people who think they are so good. No, I'm here for the sinners. Jesus said, because healthy people don't need doctors. I'm here to solve the problem. I'm here to help the people who struggle to meet God's standard. I'm going to show them what grace is about. When Jesus died on the cross, facing the Roman soldiers who crucified him, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they are doing. If it was me, I would say, Father, punish them, crucify them. Right? But Jesus said, no, Father, forgive them, even though they are crucifying me. So God shows his kindness to all people, to the lost, the hopeless, the broken, and the rebellious. So friends, if we want to produce the fruit of the Spirit and show a different kind of kindness to the people around us, we must consider God's kindness to us through Jesus Christ. Understand why he did this to us. The second one for you today is, we need to remember God's promises for those who are kind. Remember God's promise. Luke 6, verse 35, Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High. Because he is kind. God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. So we should love our enemy according to Jesus. And we don't need to expect anything back from them. But Jesus says this. You should expect receive back from God. Because God promises to reward you when you are kind. By the way, we are living in a free, peaceful society. Okay? We have nice farmers who help me. And I know most of us here today, we are so gracious. We are merciful, right? We don't see anyone as enemies in our life. But I'm a little bit different. I have to confess, occasionally, I find enemies. I did find animals anyway around my house. I found enemies in my life sometimes. For example, in a shopping center, when there is only one parking spot left, and there is a car from the opposite side rushes into it, oh, that driver becomes my enemy. On the Saturday morning, I just want to sleep in. And someone in my neighborhood start mowing his lawn. Well, he wears ear muffles, but he forgot the rest of us in the hood didn't wear the muffles at all. That person becomes my enemy. On my way to office, when the traffic light changes to green, but the car in front of me, the driver doesn't notice because he is so busy checking his phone. That driver becomes my enemy. Okay? When I'm on the flight traveling to an overseas country, back to China, and I love watching my favorite movies, through the small screen, at the back of the seat. As I was watching my favorite movie, the passenger in front of me reclines his seat back. Right? And falls asleep. That person becomes my enemy. Oh God, have mercy on them, because they don't know what they are doing. We need to love our enemies. We need to show kindness to the people who cannot do anything in return to us. Parents and teachers understand that good behavior is more effectively encouraged through rewards than just discipline. Well, don't get me wrong, discipline is super important. But reward is also important. Children also need to be rewarded for their efforts. So that's how our Heavenly Father treats us. God doesn't just give us the laws, right? Commandments, decrees, He rewards us. He motivates positive human behavior through rewarding us. Although eternal life in heaven is 100% gift by God's grace, but our earthly blessings is through our obedience by be rewarded by God. Jesus says, in the same verse, he says, your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. When we choose to be kind to those who don't deserve it, here's the thing, please listen to me. We show that we are God's children through our actions, because this is how God himself acts. I have two children. Hannah is 9. Channing is 7. When they were in preschool, when Hannah was 4, Channing was 2, we used to go to a local community's playgroup. I remember one morning I was there, and a little boy grabbed a toy from Hannah's hands, just took it away from her. And Hannah was so generous. She was a sweetheart. She didn't do anything. But you know, as a parent, when we see things like that happen, man, we want to do something, right? But we can't. It will look so bad, right? Man, I want to go to that little boy and take it away from his hand and put it back to Hannah's hand. But I could not do it because it looked so ugly. I had to pretend to be kind to everyone. Okay, now here's the thing. Channing was only 2 back then. I never expected. Channing came up to the boy, grabbed the toy from his hand, and put it back to Hannah's hands. At that moment, when I saw that, but deep down, I was thinking, this is my son. He deserves a box of Lego. I'm gonna reward him greatly, okay? Because he just did what I wanted to do. Friends, God will reward your kindness greatly because you are doing what he wants to do on earth. Friends, let me tell you this. The fundamental difference between Christians' kindness and that of people who are not Christians is our kindness represents something bigger than us. Right? Hey, friends, I know some of you are not Christians. You can be kind, of course. I got our non-Christian friends, they are so kind, so friendly. But when people see your kindness, they will say, well, this man is kind, right? He's a nice man. He's a kind man. But we got to remember this. As Christians, our kindness is not about me. It's about God. We represent something bigger than us. We are fulfilling a higher purpose through our kindness. People get to know God through our actions. That's the purpose of our life. That should motivate us to be kind. Because we know we are showing people who God is so that they know we are the children of God. So friend, your reward will be great. Your reward will be great when people can see God's image in you. So we need to remember God's promises to reward your kindness. Worship team, please come up. As I wrap up today's sermon, let's think about this question together. Who in your life doesn't seem to deserve kindness but needs it the most? Let's take a moment to think about this person. And then we let's start to show this person a different kind of kindness. Well, I'm not asking you to crucify yourself for this person now. No, no, no. Let's start with a small step. Start with the things you can do. Maybe just pray a small prayer for this person. Ask God to transform his life or her life. You know, ask God to give you that kind of kindness to forgive this person. Or maybe you can send a text message of a kind word. Just a kind word. Hey, listen, Proverbs 12, 25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Listen, today we know many people suffered from anxieties, suffered from mental health issues. Just a kind word can cheer them up. Once again, let me remind you, my brothers and sisters, now, right now, the Spirit of God is in you. So everything you do, everything you say, is not just from your strength, from your understanding. God's power, God's presence goes with your word. Let's get back to the scriptures we shared at the beginning, Titus 3, verse 4 to 5. When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Listen to this. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So you see, God's kindness through us doesn't just do a favor by solving some problems. It completely transforms lives. When we show kindness to the people around us, it turns a curse into a blessing, despair into hope, sorrow into joy, darkness into light, because the power and the Spirit of God is in you. I want to take a moment to speak to those who are not Christian. Or maybe you once was Christian, but now for some reason you feel you are far from God. Friend, you need this power in your life. You need the power of renewal and rebirth in your life. You need God's kindness to transform yourself and the people around you. You can be the one to completely change the history of your family line. You can be the one to rewrite the narrative of your life from now on. But the first step you need to take is to receive Jesus, to invite Jesus back to your life. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. I already explained that at the beginning. Jesus came to the world, died for us on the cross. When he died, he took on himself the penalty of sin for us, because sin separates us from God. When Jesus died on the cross, he extended God's grace and kindness to all of us here today. So when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, at that moment, you receive forgiveness for your past. You receive a new life for you now. Hope for your future. Eternal life in heaven. And you're going to receive the spiritual power that can turn your life into a blessing to influence the people around you. All you need to do now is to pray a very simple prayer by following me. I will pray out loud. You can hear. Okay, are you ready? Let's do it. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and kindness. I know I'm a sinner, and I know you died for me on the cross. Please come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Please turn my life into a blessing for both me and the people around me. I choose from today to turn away from my old life and turn to you, and I will follow you to the rest of my life. I pray in the name of Jesus. As everyone is bowing down their heads and praying, I want to ask you this question, my friends. If you just pray that prayer, congratulations, your life will never be the same again. You are going to receive God's kindness. And you are going to manifest God's kindness in your life. Now I want to encourage you to take one more step of faith. If you just pray that prayer, I'm going to count from 1 to 3. As I get to 3, could you please raise your hand so that I can see you? I'm not doing this to call you out. I just want to acknowledge your hand and then you can put it down. After that, I will lead our congregation to pray a blessing over your life. Because you need community. You need a new family here. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. I see your hand. God bless you. You can put it down. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see your hand. God bless you. You can put it down. 2 people. Anyone else? Let's pray for those 2 people who just raised their hand. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We know you just touched their heart. We know that you just transformed their lives, my Lord. We pray that from now on you will continue to bless them, guide them, and surround them with the people who can show them a different kind of kindness. Journey together. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.